Well, lots of people find themselves single later in life. It might be due to divorce. It could be the loss of a spouse. Maybe just never finding the right person. As we get older, it can be feeling more intimidating to date for lots of reasons. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our next guest can talk with us about that for sure. Pepper Schwartz is a sociologist at the University of Washington in Seattle. She's a writer, author of several books, including Dating After 50 for Dummies. She formerly served as the love and relationship expert and ambassador for AARP and is the on-the-air relationship expert on the show Married at First Sight. Well, are you single? Have you tried to date? Why or why not? Have you been lucky enough to find your partner in dating at older age? Boy, we'd love to hear about that as well. So join in. Give a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Pepper Schwartz, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, I appreciate you inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I know many people find themselves single after 50 for a variety of reasons. And, you know, I mentioned divorce, loss of a partner, just never found someone that they clicked with. What do you say to someone who's become comfortable and familiar with being alone? Why bother dating?
Well, you know, it's a tough argument because comfortable and happy is always a good state. You know, I'm a little scared to play with it. And I think the question is, are you really? You know, I mean, comfortable and happy are not necessarily the same thing. And, you know, I'm a romantic. I believe that we all do better with rich relationships, whether they're friendship, family, or love relationships. But I think each one of those is different. And the one thing that you don't get out of other kinds of relationships is cuddling at night, whispering confidences, having an affectionate, emotional, romantic, and often sexual life together. They're very specific things, and yes, we can live without them, but I do think most of us live better with them. If you don't, you don't. I mean, far from it for me to snatch someone out of a happy life and put them in a situation they don't want to be in, right? But if you're not, if you wish you were in one, then I think that's legitimate and need some work to find it and make it happen.
And I think there are data out there that show that those people in relationships probably live a little longer, maybe have a more healthy life later on than those who don't.
And that's true. It's a very big study, I think, at Brigham Young University that looked at the richness of emotional networks and that having a partner or very close friends that you see as much as you might a partner cut your health issues and would modify even strong anti-health behaviors like alcoholism, drug abuse, smoking, all the things that take you down, obesity, but that having a real partner was a buffer against all those things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Carolyn Holman is just come on board with us, I believe. Let's go there. Oh, hold on. I think we may have to wait a second for that. Sarah in Madison emailed to share that her dad, who is 76, now has a girlfriend who he cares very much about and who he met online. He's happier than ever. He's engaging in new activities with her, enjoying old ones he had forgotten he liked. She says, I could not be more happy for him and did not think this would happen. And I think maybe he didn't think it was going to happen either. Her mother died a year ago after a long illness that included dementia. Sarah says, this is a great reminder that there are always new adventures ahead, and love can happen sometimes when we least expect it.
Well, I love that message. Of course, it's true, and it's inspirational, and I hope people listening are inspired because, you know, one of the things is that somebody brings new things in your life. You know, and there's actually a lot of research that they looked at couples who did the things they loved and had always loved, and the couples who tried new things. And the couples who tried new things were happier because there's something about doing novelty together that makes you closer and that makes you feel your life is enriched. So by dating, you go find someone else who opens up their life to you as well as your life to them. And that in itself has benefits. There's no expiration date on love. There's no expiration date on excitement over somebody new who's, you know, revealing themselves to you and vice versa. I have seen people, and this is, I'm not just saying this, I know specific couples who have found themselves in their mid and late 80s and their early 90s, and they were as happy and as in love as ever and sometimes more than ever. So this kind of story is not surprising to me. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, I said Sarah's dad was 76. He's actually 78. We have Carol from Holman now. Let's go there. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Hi, Lottie. How are you today?
I am just great. It's good to hear your voice. Tell us your story.
I'm originally from Scotland, and it's a true love story. My husband and I met, I was 50. We'd known each other a long time, but that's family history. But he was married and I was married. My husband died a long time ago when I was quite young. And my husband, my now husband, we met at a family wedding in Colorado when I was 57 and he was 59. And it was quite literally, for me, love at first sight. And I was still living in Scotland. But we got to know each other by flying across the Atlantic umpteen times. And we decided we weren't going to bump into each other in a grocery store, with me in Glasgow and him in La Crosse. So we decided that, well, let's be serious about this. And we decided that we loved each other enough to make a go of it. So I sold up, packed up Scotland, and took the chance to come to Holman, and have never regretted a moment.
Oh, what a great story, Carol. Thank you so much. Comment, Pepper?
I love it, of course. It is a true love story, as she says, but also it says she was willing to take a risk for love. And I think that's necessary sometimes. Risk doesn't always pay off, but if you don't take the risk, you generally know the result, which is it's not going to happen. You haven't given yourself the chance to be vulnerable and do, you know, hope that it works out. I mean, I think they had known each other enough over conversations and trips, so this wasn't, you know, a jump off a cliff or, you know, shot in the dark. They were very well informed. But, you know, moving countries, changing your life midlife, I mean, it does take a little bit of courage, and I applaud her for that, and I encourage other people to have that courage as well.
Carol, thank you so much. That was a great story. I hope we hear some more stories as well as we move along today. What are some of the things that prevent older adults from trying out dating, online or not, even if they're curious?
Well, I think the two biggest ones, and by the way, I think they're reasonable worries. One is safety. Is this person authentic? Is this person going to be dangerous? Am I going to be scammed? You know, am I doing something that endangers everything I work so hard for security? So, you know, that one I think is a big one, particularly for women. And the second one is, I think, a little bit less worthy, but understandable, which is, I don't want to change anything. You know, I'm near my aged mother, or I'm near my children, or it would upset the way I interact with my grandchildren, or I love my house, or you name it, I don't want to change. And you know, love requires some changes. And so I think people often don't weigh how much they would get for having a little change in their life.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. Well, our guest today is Pepper Schwartz. She's a sociologist at the University of Washington in Seattle, writer and author of several books, including Dating After 50 for Dummies. She's formerly served as a love and relationship expert and ambassador for ARP, and is the online relationship expert on the show Married at First Sight. She is going to be with us right up until 12:30 today, and I hope you'll join in with your own experience or your own questions. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, and the email address is ideas@wpr.org. We are going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guest, Pepper Schwartz. You stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Larry Mueller. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about dating after the age of 50 on the show today. Our guest is Pepper Schwartz, sociologist at the University of Washington in Seattle, written a number of books, including Dating After 50 for Dummies. She's also on the air, relationship expert on the show Married at First Sight. So what's your experience like as an older adult dating? What questions or worries do you have about giving it a try? If you're single, do you wish you had a partner? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take some calls. Richard in Wausau, we'll go to you first. Thank you for calling.
Howdy. I was 75 years old. I'm now 85. And I had been to a private party, and I ended up going to a local restaurant supper club, and I came in the back door, and across the bar there was a woman who was a good friend of my mother's, and I went over there, and there was a gal with her, and as it turns out, I thought it was her daughter that had gone to high school with me. I hadn't seen her in 50 years or more, and so I put my arms out for the mother, and the daughter jumped off the bar stool and gave me a hug. And that started a relationship. And it turns out it was not the sister I thought. It was the other sister. And because I would have known her other sister was rather stoic, because she'd have never jumped off the bar stool and given me a hug. But we had a great relationship.
Oh, man. That's a nice story, Pepper.
Yeah, I love it. And then I showed it. And one other thing I like, it was a little bit of agency. You know, she showed she was interested. And if she hadn't showed she was interested, he might have been too shy or just not thought of it, you know, in terms of knowing her in a different way. But because she said, hey, I'm here, take a look, and I'm interested in you, you know, that made all the difference in the world. I think a lot of us are afraid of being inappropriate, putting ourselves out there and having someone go like, uh-uh. So if somebody really reassures you that, yeah, I'd really like to know you, it encourages the other person to be braver, too.
Yeah, that's a great story, Richard. Thank you so much. Jennifer in Madison, what's on your mind?
I wanted to share a wonderful story about my late father-in-law, who was an amazing combination of romantic and realistic. And he and his wife had been friends with another couple in their youth, but the other couple moved to another town and they lost touch. And about 50 years later, he and the other woman had a chance meeting, discovered they had both been widowed for a long time, got together for lunch and then for dinner and then for theater and then for plays. And in a month, he asked her to marry him. He was 87, she was 85. She was very reluctant, but her kids convinced her it would be a good idea. And they had a wonderful, happy marriage for about 5 years before he passed away. And every month on the anniversary of their marriage, he sent her a dozen long-stemmed roses. And we said, Dad, wow, you know, that's really romantic. And he said, romantic? What? At my age, you can't afford to wait a year. You never know.
Oh, Jennifer, that is a marvelous story. And there's a couple of things, Pepper, I think we can talk about, really. One of them, the children there were supportive.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think a lot of times people are worried that their kids would feel, let's say they, you know, they lost their mom, and they would feel that it wasn't good for her memory or things like that. I think often children are scared that maybe economically they might suffer from a new marriage, et cetera. But there are ways to handle those fears. I think it's an important thing to think about if you're have an adult, middle-aged kids even, to try and reassure them. But if you're in that situation where you're the middle-aged person and you've got an elderly parent who's falling in love, how important it is that, in this story, that those 5 years were filled with love and support instead of missing them. So the kids' attitude's really important. But I think it's also true for older people that you deserve your happiness. And if kids aren't comfortable with it, well, help them learn how to be comfortable, because you have to take care of your happiness just in the same way they do theirs. And I wouldn't give up just because they're initially not approving.
Yeah, Jennifer, great story. And proof positive that even at 87, you can find love and a great life for the rest of your life. Thank you, Jennifer, so much. A caller, here's another aspect. A caller didn't want to stay online, but shared that he was married for 30 years, then got a divorce. Later, found another partner and got married. But now he feels like he jumped into the marriage too quickly, and he has some regret. I'm sure you've probably dealt with this at one point or another, Pepper, but any
sure.
suggestions from him on how to get the timing right, and also what to do now that he's in the situation that he's in?
Well, I think, first of all, it is easy for older people to jump into a relationship too soon, because sometimes it's almost an unbearable loss. Let's say it was a good marriage of many years and you've lost your best friend. I mean, if somebody else reaches out to you, it feels like somebody throwing you a life jacket, life raft, because you feel so lost. But it can happen too quickly, and then you're sort of like, oh my gosh, who am I with and how did I get up here? I would say you need to go see a therapist to sort your feelings out, to see if they're justified or maybe just general fear and anxiety in life. But if it's the wrong person, then you'll probably need to thread through this in terms of not only a therapist, but a good attorney, because marriage is a legal institution as well as an emotional one, and getting out of it should be thought through very, very carefully. I often say that older people, maybe what you want is a domestic partnership instead of a marriage, which makes the money fewer legal entanglements and still shows commitment, still a legal relationship and needs a legal separation, but it doesn't have the same kind of federal and economic entanglements as marriage does. All that said is that every day is precious, and if you find out it truly is the wrong person, it's never too late to get married, and honestly, it's never too late to get divorced if you need to.
Yeah. Thanks for that question. In your experience, let's talk about worries that people have. There's nobody out there. I'm not, pretty enough or handsome enough. No one's going to be interested. Is there a big pool of people out there?
There really is. I mean, particularly now we're living much longer. People used to, retire at 65 in advance of thinking that they only had a few years left. Well, for most of us, if you get to 65, you're likely to get into your 80s and beyond. So, sadly, there is a certain amount of recycling going on because not everybody lives as long as their partner. So, not only is there people out there, but most of them are motivated for at least companionship. And I think they would find that even though a lot of people look unavailable, the fact is that they're shy, and they are more available. You just have to, you know, put yourself out there. It's like looking for a job. You can't wait in your house and assume that someone's going to knock on your door and say, hey, I've got a job for you. Not going to happen, right? So it's the same about relationships. You can say there's nobody out there, but how do you know if you're sitting in your house and waiting for the door to knock? No, you have to go online. You have to go, like some of your partners, or excuse me, your callers, you know, introduce yourself to someone who might be interesting to you. You have to be an agent in your own future. And I think really the difference between people who are alone versus people who are partnered is not how they look, not how much money they have, but rather they're really trying to find someone and open and available and positive and friendly and all those things that make people want to reach right back at you.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts to let your friends and acquaintances and maybe family members know that you are would like to to meet somebody.
I think it's really important. I'm glad you mentioned it. I have a friend who lost her husband at 40 years, and she told everybody who would listen, you know, after about 3 years of grieving, because it was a very good marriage, she decided, she was in her early 80s at the time, she wanted a partner, and she told everyone, and ultimately a friend said, you know, I know this wonderful guy who lost his wife, blah, 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 and they met, and they're together still. They're in their mid-90s and very much in love. So I think you do. You have to advertise. Say, hey, I do want a partner. Do you know anyone?
Joanne in La Crosse, let's go to you now. Joanne, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I find this a very, very interesting program, and I thought that maybe this is something that I know or have found that would be of interest to you guys. I read a long time ago that the reason that people hesitate having relationships as they get older is because they're deathly afraid of the other person seeing them naked. And I have to say, I am in my early 80s. I am in a relationship that has just gotten more exciting and passionate over the years. And I have a rule. Turn off the lights. I don't make love with the lights on. And I'm just here to tell you that when you're with someone and sex being more about feeling and touching and holding, you'd be surprised how quickly you feel like you're 20 years old with the lights out. Anyway, that's my theory. I don't remember where I read that, but years ago, more older people would have relationships if they weren't so afraid of the other person seeing them. And it's true. So I just thought you might.
Yeah, Joanne, thank you so much for that. Pepper, a comment?
Oh, I'm so glad she mentioned that. You know, I don't know the study, but I understand that that's true for so many people. You know, you compare the way your body looks now to when it was 20 or 40 or 50. And the older you get, the more it changes. And, you know, our standards of acceptability are stuck at age like 23, right? So I think what we have to do is either say, you know, I'm going to turn on to someone because I'm really interested in who they are and how they touch me and how they look to me, but I'm not going to demand, you know, a 25-year-old body. If, in fact, you're going to be inhibited by the way you look, I think this woman's suggestion is absolutely correct. You know, wear something that, you know, doesn't make you feel too exposed. Close the lights and get into the mood. If you get really into the mood, you probably forget about all those other things. But, you know, you need to not be inhibited by your own, I think, sadly misplaced sense of shame that a lot of people do have about aging bodies or even how they perform. But the fact is, the payoff of being physically close to somebody and sexually alive is so great that you just need to know how to do an end run around your own mind and get into just pleasure.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering in the here we've got this COVID time, although those who are older, many of them will have their first and second shots, and that may go away eventually. You hope it does. But sure. Right now with COVID, what's out there for people like that in this situation?
Well, I think you can date. First of all, do just a lot of Zooming till you know it's worthwhile meeting the person. Zooming is the way people are dating these days of all ages. But once you get to a point with somebody, let's say we're an age mate, where you're in the category where you're likely to be vaccinated, you could both, get vaccinated and show that you're both vaccinated, which seems to be a safe way then to meet someone. I think that's the CDC saying now that if you're both vaccinated, you don't need to wear masks, et cetera. But the other way to do is go get a rapid test together. If you have been seeing each other and want to have a less inhibited environment, and there's these rapid tests you can know in 20 minutes on some of them, certainly by the end of the day, and then you could meet knowing you were safe, as safe as possible with the information we have. I do think it's important not to forget any of these health behaviors. I do think, even when you're safe, if you're nervous, still wear your masks, meet outside. But, where there's a will, there's a way. I would say you can maneuver this in a healthy way. Don't think that there's no way to do it. There is.
What are some of the common mistakes, or maybe the most common mistakes you see older adults make, let's say with online dating profiles? What are some things that make a profile great?
Oh, how much time have you got? this is a big one. But I would say mostly the way that people advertise when they're older is they talk about their family, their grandchildren, all this as if, you get one big package and, I'm in there somewhere. I mean, remember the person's looking for an individual who will give them time, give them priority. So, you can say you have, beloved grandchildren or whatever, but make sure you show how much fun and interesting and ready for an intimate relationship you are, as opposed to, I have this life and you have to fit into it and it's all about my family and me and, we'll give you a little space. So I think that's important. I always think it's very important not to have generic profiles, walks on the beach, candlelit dinners, love looking at the stars. So does everybody else. You have to be very specific. If you like looking at the stars, say, I'm an astronomer. I look through a telescope and I know a lot and it's fun to learn things. I mean, in other words, make yourself interesting about the things that are true by being more specific. If you're general, nobody knows. And I just think mostly being warm and happy and open and saying, I'm flexible. I'm looking for, my next adventure with a special person and make yourself seem like somebody who's safe to be with and kind and all those elemental things that people prioritize at this stage of life and wish they had earlier.
yeah, for sure. I had a friend who...
Go ahead.
No,
I was just going to say this.
You talk.
Last sentence. I was clear. The thing you don't do is sit there and talk about all your illnesses. It's true. At this stage of life, we faced stuff, right? But you don't have to tell that not only in your online profile, but even in the first couple dates you have. That's, it's none of their business unless you two become intimate. And in the beginning, make this easy. Don't unload about your various operations. It's just not a good way to begin.
Yeah. I had a friend who went through one of the dating services, and he was pretty specific about things that he liked to do. He liked to golf. He likes Badger sports and attending, those kinds of events, and met someone who, through the service, that had a similar interest, and they met for coffee and spent a long time talking about she had the same interests, and they wound up getting married. So I think that your advice about sort of being specific about things that you like to do helps the person a lot who's looking at your profile, and it probably saves a little bit of time in a way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You're not wasting your own time or anybody else's time.
Well, exactly. I mean, the fact is, why did you pick me? Why should I pick you? I don't want to be going into dead-end situations all the time. If I talk about sports 24/7, and I know that's kind of who I am, I better have someone who also thinks that's interesting. And, you know, it doesn't have to be politically correct or whatever it is that you are. You're looking for people who – you're trying to tell people who wouldn't like you that they wouldn't like you. And you're trying to tell people who would that, you know, you two ought to meet. You know, it's as you say, it's helpful. It saves time and emotional energy and makes it more likely that you're really going to enjoy the time you spent with this person. Sometimes even if there's no emotional connection, there's no chemistry or whatever it is you're looking for, you could link these things as pleasant ways to meet interesting people as long as there was some reason in the first place that the two of you should talk to one another.
And even then, sometimes, you know, there's going to be rejection, perhaps, and you're going to have to deal with that.
Right.
And it's hard to handle, I think, for people.
Well, let me say my pineapple theory. I wrote in a book, actually I wrote another book on dating called Prime, and it was about my own story dating at midlife. And in there, I give a lot of advice as well as in this Dating Over 50 for Dummies book. But this one was more personal. And in Prime, I say, you know, I have a pineapple theory. That is, like, I don't like pineapple. If I see it in the fruit salad, I'll pick it out. I don't want to eat it. But other people love pineapple. They'll ask for more pineapple. So it's not that there's anything wrong with the pineapple. It's just not to my taste. So, you know, I think of myself as a pineapple. Some people are just going to not want it. And other people, that's just the fruit they're looking for. And so it's not so personal. It's not like you win or lose or you fail or all that. It's just that you have to meet people with the same taste about what you are. And if some, and you don't want everybody either. So it's just, you know, understanding that people are going to have these specific needs and perceptions, and that's okay. It's not so much about you. It's about somebody's looking for you if you're a pineapple and they like pineapple.
On that note, pepper and pineapple. I wanted to call you pineapple there for a minute, but I'm going to call you by your name. Pepper Schwartz, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
That was a lot of fun. Sounds like you have a great program and really, really helpful to your audience. So thank you for having me.
Pepper Schwartz, her books, let's see, Dating After 50 for Dummies, and she serves as a loving and relationship expert and an ambassador for ARP. So it was great to have her with us. Tomorrow, we're joined by a pet expert to talk about the value of alone time with your pets, which is especially important when it comes to separation anxiety. With spring here, we're into the tick season. We'll also tell you how to protect your pet from ticks. In the meantime, this program's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for listening and for contributing. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.